Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friends Rick Tyler and Ed Short aren't with us this evening, so we will be listening to a sermon entitled Pray Without Ceasing. But before we begin that, we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be a part of the New Visions Radio family and for broadcasting this every Sunday at 7 p.m. We're really thankful to be a part of this family and to be here each week. Also, if you'd like to tune in to Prophecies of Hope, you can join us at prophecyhope.com. We meet every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time for Sabbath School and 11 a.m. Eastern Time for the worship service. And also, I wanted to let you know, we will be getting back to a normal schedule here as far as having the Bible studies and doing questions and answers here on the air. And I really appreciate that you all have hung in there with us. We're just going through a little growing pains here at Prophecies of Hope. I do want to let you know, too, that if you want to contact me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And also, if you can't remember my name, you can send us a general email or question or contact us at office@prophecyhope.com. Now, because of the length of the sermon, we're going to have to move along. So let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to put aside some time to open your word, the Bible, and learn more about you and your son, Jesus, and just how important we are to you, Father, that you loved us so much that you gave your son. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the gift of your son. And Father, we ask for your spirit to be with us as we listen now to this sermon. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, when the sermon is over, we'll come back for a few concluding remarks and a closing prayer. I hope you enjoy the sermon. Pray without ceasing. When you think of praying without ceasing, what does that mean? Always pray. Constantly pray. I've said many times in the past about prayer. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up where I was taught that in the evenings, you know, it's always good to pray when you go to bed, pray at night. I was always taught to pray before eating meals. When you go to church, there's typically an opening prayer and a closing prayer. When you have Bible study, you would pray. So those are times of the day when we usually pause and we pray. But to pray without ceasing sounds impossible. Some people would say, well, that's fanatical. Christians many times are called fanatics because of some of the beliefs that we have, believing in the Son of God, believing that God sent a Son to die for us and that lives again in the heavenly courts. People think that's crazy talk. But as Christians, we believe it. We know it's true. We have eyewitnesses that saw it. That's recorded for us right here in the Word of God. And we know that the Son of God prayed, and he taught us how to pray. But what I'd like to do, because all of us who are Christians have had the opportunity to pray about different things on different occasions. We pray, like I said, mealtime. There are typical things that we get in the habit of. And it might just be, well, I'm just going to bow my head and say a quick prayer for the thanks for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. But are we really thankful? If you've ever traveled to third world countries, if you've ever traveled to a place other than the United States of America, if you are an American, or outside of the UK, if you live there, or parts of the world where it's more developed, and you go to these less developed lands, you realize that if these people could have a meal, they would be so grateful. If you said, you know, you should thank God for this meal, many of them would do it because they're so thankful to have it, whether they believe in God or not. Pray without ceasing. What does that look like? Well, let's take a look at the scripture text that Brother Ed read. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, and it starts off, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It doesn't say to give thanks once in a while, to give thanks only when you have food, to give thanks only when God does something good for you or when life is good. It says, in everything give thanks. This is going to sound really
strange to some. But when I look back on my lifetime and I see some of the things that happened to me and some of the things that were tragedies, I'm grateful that that happened. And you say, how can you be grateful that that happened? Well, years ago, many of you have heard me say I had a motorcycle accident. Why am I grateful that happened? Well, number one, I didn't die, and I should have died. It should have killed me. But I'm grateful because that experience changed the way I think. It changed the way I rode a motorcycle. It changed the way I drive. Because now I realize, you know, I'm not Superman. When you're a teenager, you think you are. And sometimes even into your 30s, you think that, well, I'm bulletproof. You know, I'm tough. I can handle this. And you find out, well, you know, that's not the case. So I give thanks to God for allowing me to experience that and allowing that tragedy to happen. When I look back just a little less than 5 years ago, when I ended up in the hospital, I said to my friends, I'm grateful that I had that experience. But you almost died. Well, actually, technically, I did die twice. But I'm grateful for that experience because it taught me so many things on so many levels that I couldn't even begin to tell you. And it changed a lot of my character and who I am. God can use things like that to help you develop your character and more into the character of Christ. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. I'm grateful for that. Do we rejoice always? Well, if we're praying without ceasing and we're giving thanks for everything, then we have reason to rejoice. So I want to tell you this 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 that you see, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. I heard a scripture song with that, and we're going to learn that sometime because it's such a catchy little tune, and scripture songs are so good for helping us to reflect on these things and call those scriptures to memory. So I can't read that without the tune going through my head. So earlier this week when I started looking at this, doing this sermon, I've been singing this song all week long. and that brings me joy because it's such a happy tune. So again, pray without ceasing and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, what does this mean to pray without ceasing? Let's look at this phrase, without ceasing. When we look at this phrase in the Greek, it's Strong G89. This is from Strong's dictionary. I don't know how to say the word in Greek, but it says it's from an adverb from G88. The definition of the G89 is uninterruptedly, that is, without omission. So you can look at omission as if you omit something, or you can look at it as without stopping. So this is saying that word without ceasing, or that phrase without ceasing, literally means pray without interruption. Pray continually. That's what it means. Now G88, this adverb, if we look at that, from Thayer's, it says unintermittent. There's a word intermittent and unintermittent, but this is actually, I checked the spelling on that and I looked it up, and intermittent with an N and unintermittent are the opposite. One means, like if you have intermittent wipers, they stop, they delay, they go and they stop. That's not always going. But unintermittent means they keep going. So I had to look that up. I'd never seen that spelling and never pronounced that word, actually. So this G88 adverb means intermitted, unceasing, continually, or continual. So think about this, without ceasing. Look at another definition of this in Thayer's. It says this without ceasing phrase means without intermission, incessantly. Some Bible translations say pray incessantly. And then Mount's dictionary says unceasingly, by an unvarying practice. Now this phrase without ceasing is used only four times in the New Testament. So let's look at those. One of them is here in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And look at the context of this without ceasing. It says, first, I thank my God that through Christ for you all, I'm sorry. First, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So this is in the context of praying. Verse 10, making requests if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So when you look at this, this without ceasing, this phrase is used here in the context of praying. So Paul was praying without ceasing. Let's continue. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 4. Here's that phrase again. It says, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. So again, he's praying. This is without ceasing. And he remembers you without ceasing. That's what Paul was telling the Thessalonians. So have you ever been together with a friend? Maybe you were on a long trip in a car. Maybe you picked up the phone. You called them and you talked for hours without ceasing. There was no break in the conversation. There was no quiet time in the car. There was no quiet time on the phone. Do you talk to God this way? Do we pray without ceasing? Can we have a conversation with God? Can we talk to him nonstop like we do that buddy that's sitting with me next to me when I'm driving down the highway, or the person that I'm talking to on the phone? You know, two of our sisters that we know, I'm not going to call them out, but that meet us on Zoom for the Bible study. One confessed that they talked, I think it was for more than 8 hours on the phone, straight through. All spiritual things and family things and lifting one another up. Can we talk to God for 8 hours? You say, wow, that's praying without ceasing. Can we do that? He's interested in what happens in your life. Let's look at another prayer without ceasing phrase. This is again 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. It says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. In other words, that's saying we are praying without ceasing. We're thanking God without ceasing because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Amen. So notice that last verse, verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing because you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men. Why is that? Because we're reading it from the word of God. If it's coming from the book, from the word of God, it's not the word of men. And it goes on, but it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. What a powerful text. Part of praying without ceasing is asking for God's Spirit to work within us and give us wisdom and understanding to know how to interpret Scripture. So there were three of the four times that you find that phrase, without ceasing, and this was the one in the Scripture reading that we looked at just a moment ago. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. So, Jesus prayed. Jesus taught us how to pray. He even told us what we could pray about. So, let's take a look at a text in Matthew chapter 6, just briefly. We're just going to open our Bibles to a few texts this morning and just consider all of these things in the theme of pray without ceasing. That's what we want to do. We want to consider these things. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading here just a few verses. Notice verse 9. Jesus says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Most of us can say this from memory. Many Christians do this. They say this on a regular basis. Jesus was teaching us not to say these words exactly and not to say this and repeat it over and over, but he's giving us things that we can pray for and pray about. And he's showing us that when we pray, he says, pray this way, "Our Father in heaven." You see? And it's all about, what's Jesus saying? Let your name be holy. He's pointing to the Father. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Is that what we ask for when we pray? Do we ask for God's will? I've noticed during intercessory prayer, and even during Sabbath school prayer, when the brothers here pray, it's always God's will. Father, if it's your will. Father, let your will be. This is how we were taught by Jesus, by the Master. We were taught this is how we pray. You know, in Luke chapter 6, if you have time, do that in your personal study. Read Luke chapter 6, because in verse 12, we're told that Jesus prayed all night. All night long. When's the last time you prayed all night long? It's hard. One of the things that happens to me is I lay down in bed and I'll begin to pray, and sometimes I fall asleep. And I feel so bad when that happens, because I'm thinking, what if I was talking to my wife and I fell asleep while I was talking to her? How would she feel? Or how would I feel if she was talking to me and she fell asleep talking to me? You see, I believe our Heavenly Father understands, but, you know, make the effort to really put meaning into your prayer, to pray about things that are affecting your life, to ask him to help you to, Father, I'm coming to you in prayer, I'm tired, help me not to fall asleep while I'm talking to you. He will help you. We can pray about anything. There's so much we can pray about. You know, we can pray when we're troubled. Let's take a look at a text in John chapter 14. I want to look at John chapter 14. You know, we've spent a lot of time in this gospel, and I'm actually I brought today my Divine Name King James Bible. It's actually the Authorized King James. It reads just like the old King James. Nothing has been changed, but where the Tetragrammaton is, it has put God's name, the Divine Name, or the Tetragrammaton there. So when I look at John chapter 14, I don't like the pages in this Bible. They're not the best quality. But and the print is very, very tiny. John chapter 14, notice what it says. Remember, I said we can pray when we're troubled. We can pray when we're troubled. Jesus says here, let not, in verse 1, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's easier said than done. It's easy to stand here and say, don't let your heart be troubled. My heart gets troubled. But what's he saying? Throw the burden on our Heavenly Father. Pray about it. Notice verse 15. We're just going to skip around here. Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. Jesus prays to the Father for us. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All the more to pray. All the more to not feel troubled. Because Christ, the Comforter, will come to us. and he'll help us, and he'll help us to overcome. And if we don't have that faith, we've talked about faith in the weeks past. If we don't have that faith, ask for it. Pray about it. Help me in my weakness. Help me have faith, Father. Give me that faith. Notice verse 25, John chapter 14. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So maybe we've studied the Bible. Maybe we've had something happen in our life, or something is happening right now, and we're thinking, I read a text, but I don't remember what it was. What's it say? He will bring it to your remembrance. Ask him. Ask our Heavenly Father, "Father, help me to recall this. Give me the text that I need to be able to deal with the situation. Give me the strength to overcome. Then send the Spirit of your Son into my heart so that I can cry, Abba, Father." Pray without ceasing. Notice verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." He says it again right there. Neither let it be afraid. "Ye have heard that how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So Jesus is saying that when he went back to the heavens, that by his Spirit he can still come to us. We're not left alone. He did not leave us comfortless. We can pray and ask for the Comforter to come into our hearts, which is Christ Jesus. You know, we can pray when we're weak. I think all of us have suffered weakness of some sort. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 18, please. The 18th Psalm. And we're going to look at... I've debated on how much of this to read. I'm just going to start in verse 1. And I'm reading again from the Divine Name King James Bible, Psalm 18, beginning in verse 1. "I will love thee, O Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Boy, this person trusts in his God, doesn't he? Verse 3, "I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon Jehovah and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because of his wrath, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed in the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Jehovah also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Jehovah, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of my many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." Might be too strong for me, but they're not too strong for our Heavenly Father. Verse 18, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Jehovah was my stay. He brought me forth also into the large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Jehovah rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Jehovah and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath Jehovah recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. When the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. Jehovah my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. So when I'm feeling weak, look at the mightiness that can happen. Look at the things that you can overcome. Look at the things that you can do. And it's not by my righteousness, it's by the righteousness of Christ. This is how we're helped. He sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts to help us when we're weak. We can pray when we're lonely. Look at the 23rd Psalm, just a few pages away. Most of us have this, many, many, many Christians have this memorized. It says here in the divine name, King James, Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. Who can be lonely when we know that we can dwell in the house of Jehovah forever? I hope you're comforted by these thoughts, that you recognize we can pray without ceasing. These are things we can pray about when we're lonely. We should pray when we have sinned, when we fall short of God's glory. Psalm 51, turn there with me just for a moment. Notice what it says. Instead of sinning, we shouldn't sin if we can help it, but when we have sinned, we should pray. It says here in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. You see what he's asking for? Take them away. Blot them out. Get rid of them. But, you know, we need to pray that we overcome those transgressions. If we overcome them, we know he blots them out if we accept his Son. But we should overcome them. Notice verse 2. This is part of the overcoming. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is the overcoming part. It doesn't just stop, Father, forgive me of my sins. Thank you. No. Help me to overcome this sin. Even though this is something I may enjoy, I might get pleasure in doing this very thing that offends you. Help me to overcome. Verse 2 again. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And that doesn't mean just wash me to where I'm clean after sinning. It means wash me and cleanse me to where I no longer sin. It's a very important part of this. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. So what's it saying? It's what's in here. It's what's in our heart. He goes on, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me, here it is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. It's a conversion experience. We are born again as Christians. We must be changed from within. And it starts here. It starts with conversation with God and asking Him for the help. Let's just finish out this psalm. It's so beautiful. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Jehovah, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar. You see, God wants obedience, not sacrifice. And the way that I come to obeying and understanding God is by reading His Word, by praying without ceasing, and by asking Him to send the Spirit of His Son into my heart. You know, sometimes when we read things like this, it can make us anxious. And we think, I have so much to overcome. I have so many things, so much sin in my life, so much going on. There's so many things that I do that's opposed to God. The things that I like to watch, the music I like to listen to, the events I like to attend, the things that come out of my mouth. You can pray about it. Pray without ceasing. When we feel anxious, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 just for a moment. Philippians 4. You know, when we feel anxious, what do we do? Philippians chapter 4, and notice verse 4. That's where I would like to begin. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses a little understanding, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. You say, I don't understand how God can help me. Try Him. Try Him out. He says, taste and see that Jehovah is good. Try Him out. Father, I can't do this. I've told you many times in the past, I had that prayer with God. Father, I can't do this, but I'm claiming the promise that you make, and here it is. Here it is. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can't do it on my own, so I must pray without ceasing. It's the only way I can overcome. We can pray when we lack faith. I said that earlier. Along with prayer, reading specific Bible accounts can help as well. For example, if you ever read Exodus chapter 14, let's just turn there for a moment. Let's just turn to Exodus 14. I debated on if I should look at this, but I have a few minutes yet. Exodus chapter 14. There we go. Sorry, I forgot to flip the slide there, Zach. And I think, I'm sure that when you saw that, rejoice in the Lord always, again, I will say rejoice, a scripture song went through your mind, didn't it? Yeah, so Exodus chapter 14. So scripture songs, you know, remember David wrote a lot of the Psalms and it was singing praises to God. So we can put these things to melody to help us to remember those verses. But here we go. These folks are about, they're about to cross the Red Sea. And notice what it says here, beginning in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 1. It says, "Now Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal-Zephon, and shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of me, Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am Jehovah." And they did so. So I want to stop here because so many people misunderstand, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." God did not say, "Okay, I'm going to make his heart hard." He meant that Pharaoh's heart would become hardened due to the circumstances that he was put in. He gave Pharaoh opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to allow God's people to go into the wilderness. And if you read the Bible account of the Exodus, it is amazing the patience that our Heavenly Father had with this man. And I'm sorry, my human nature, I wouldn't have done it. And you know, giving him all of these opportunities, and even at that, before when the last plague hit, the 10th plague of putting the blood on the doorpost, they knew what they were supposed to do, and all they had to do was that one little thing, and their house would have been preserved. So God didn't actually say his heart's going to be hard. He knew what Pharaoh would do, but he did this as an example to give the people an opportunity to change their thinking, because they were all under that same rulership and they all had the same belief structure. And here God is trying to allow people to have a change of heart and a change of mind to worship the one true God and come out of this pagan belief. And that's why we read this whole account where he's drawing his people back to himself. Let's pick it up again in verse 5. "It was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?'" See, because he let them go. He told them, "You can go." "So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with the captains over every one of them. And Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them with the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. His horsemen and his army overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to Jehovah." You know, this goes right along with that old saying, you'll never find an atheist in a foxhole, right? Here they were in a time of need, and they call on him. This seems to be when we call on our Heavenly Father more than ever. But we should be praying without ceasing. We're all guilty of that. I'm guilty of this. I've done it. You know, you get busy during the day. But once you start making it a habit, it's just like anything. Try it for 7 days. Say, every day, I'm going to set aside time and I'm going to pray to the Heavenly Father. Do that. And after 7 days, typically things will become a habit. And then you'll realize, wait a minute, I don't feel right. Oh, you know, I haven't talked to my Heavenly Father yet. But eventually you won't even have to think about it. It'll just come naturally. You'll want to do it. So here they are. They're crying out. They're hemmed in. If an account like this doesn't build your faith, I don't know what will. So, let's see. I think I was in verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Wow, talk about a lack of faith. This happens sometimes. We take that step, we take that little leap of faith, we pray to the Father to help us get through this, and a little opposition comes. It might seem insurmountable at the time, but we say, how did you let this happen to me? Why did you do this to me? Just keep watching and keep praying, because you might see a miracle that you've never seen before. Something might happen in your life that you never expected and teach you a lesson that you never thought you would learn. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Do you believe that? I believe it happened. There's something that's going to happen very soon, and that's the coming of Christ. We don't know when, but it's just as sure as this happened. We'll see the salvation of God. And even if I die before that happens, we'll see the salvation of God if we're in that first resurrection. Amen? Verse 14, notice what it says. Jehovah will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And Jehovah said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. It doesn't say they have to walk and clean the mud out of their toes. Dry ground. This is a miracle. This is what God can do. This is what he did. Verse 17. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army by his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other at all, all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. Now you say, why was this all night? Because there were millions of people that had to go through this area. And he kept them separated. And he kept the ground dry and he kept the water up. Could you imagine walking through that? Verse 24, now it came to pass in the morning watch, that Jehovah looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel and from Jehovah, for Jehovah fights for them and against the Egyptians." Then Jehovah said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So Jehovah overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So Jehovah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which Jehovah had done in Egypt. So all the people feared Jehovah and believed Jehovah and his servant Moses. Moses in the Bible is a type of Christ. They believed Moses because Moses was pointing them to the Father. Christ points us to the Father. Pray this way, Father in heaven. That wall that was on both sides of them. You know, I hear people always worrying about, well, what about when the tribulation starts? What am I going to do? Was this a tribulation? Absolutely. He saw them right through it. They walked right in between those walls. You know, I don't know how wide that path was, but based on the rest of the sea, that was a narrow path. And we're supposed to be on the narrow path. So when we lack faith, read accounts like this. You can believe them because they're true. It's amazing. The Bible is history. And let's take a look at Hebrews. I want you to notice Hebrews chapter 5. Just a couple of more texts I want to share with you. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 7 on the PowerPoint says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek,' who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear." Jesus prayed to his Father in times of need. When he needed strength, when he needed to get through, we can do the same. It continues, though. Notice verse 8. "Though he was a son," speaking of Christ, "yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." We may have become dull of hearing, but let me tell you, God hears your prayers. He may not answer them according to the way that I think is best when I pray to him, but if I ask for his will to be done like Christ did, it will always be what's best for me, and what's best for God's arrangement, and what's best for his kingdom. God certainly hears your prayers, friends. And we need to pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing, what do we pray about? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened," right? Do we believe that? I gave a sermon called Ask, Seek, Knock a good while back, and we talked about some of those things. But we can pray for others as we do here for intercessory prayer. You know, we can pray for others. This is one of the things that we've been mentioning the last couple of weeks at our Bible study is, you know, on Wednesday nights when we have that prayer meeting and Bible study, we're praying for people by name. We're praying very specific prayers for healing, for overcoming sickness, for overcoming cancer, according to God's will. So when we pray for others, we're asking people that during the week, don't just make this a time that we come together here and we pray for those folks. Think of those individuals, and you're not going to remember everyone on the list, but pick one or two things, one or two people, and pray for them throughout the week. Pray for them in your daily prayer. Make a list of your own. Write down a prayer list, or put it in your phone. That's what I do. I have a list of prayers in my phone, and I'll go to it, and I'll say, you know, I need to pray for Brother so-and-so. He asked me to pray about this. So use these things. We have them for a reason. You know, so not only do we pray for others, we can pray for ministry, that God will give us a personal ministry, that He will use you as an individual in ministry to help you to overcome any fears that you have about speaking to others. Or maybe you have the same problem that I have, that your mouth just keeps rattling on and on and on. You've got to, Lord, help me to know when to shut up. Help me to know when to stop. And I've had to learn this specifically with certain people that I know, where you ask one question and just leave it. Let them think about it. Don't bombard them. So you can pray for that. You can pray for boldness. I'm a little timid. It takes me out of my comfort zone. Well, if you're timid, pray for boldness to overcome that according to God's will. You can pray for the world leaders, as Brother Roy asked today. Lord knows they need His help. Pray for the world leaders, that God's will take place in their lives, that maybe they can be turned to come to Christ. It can happen. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. He was a world leader, a mighty empire. But if you read Daniel chapter 4, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar turned to God. You can pray for your enemies, for those who persecute you. And if you're not being persecuted now and you walk with Christ, it will happen. And we need to learn to pray for them now. If we're praying without ceasing, these things will come to mind. We can pray when we're going to travel for safe travels. We prayed for that for our brother Rick and our sister Mary today. We can pray like Jesus did, for God's kingdom to come, for His will to be done. We can pray for healing, as I mentioned, that we do pray for. We can pray for friendships. We can pray for family. What if I don't have a place to live? I can pray for a place to live. You say, well, God's not interested in helping me with material things. Well, He certainly is. If those material things put a roof over your head and give you food, He's interested in providing what you need so you can survive. We can pray for clothing, if we need clothing. And you say, well, these seem like silly things to pray about. When a parent has a child and that child comes to the parent and wants to talk with them, you want to know what's on their mind. What are your needs? What can I as a parent do for you? This is what our Heavenly Father wants. He wants to know what He can do for us. He's done it all for us already, but He wants us to rely upon Him. We can pray before making big decisions, before making small decisions. Do I take this job? Do I go into this business? Do I buy this piece of equipment? Do I really need that car? You can pray for your needs. And you can even pray for things that you may want, and you might want it, but help me to want it according to your Father, or your will, Father. Help me to want that according to how I can use it to glorify you and your Son. You see? Maybe you're thinking about getting married. You can pray about that. Maybe you are married and you're having some marital issues. You can pray about that. You can pray about moving if you have to make a move somewhere, or if you're going to move, if you know somebody that's moving. I can't tell you the number of times that we've been here and something will come up, and it doesn't matter what the topic. It could be just a project that we've got going on next door at the office. Well, let's stop and pray about that. When you're going to do a project, even if you're going to mow your yard, you can pray about that. You know, keep me safe and, And help me to glorify your name by keeping my home looking nice, because it's a reflection on you, because I call myself a Christian. See, all of those things. Christ, like I said, he prayed all night. He prayed for those who were persecuting him. He says, we read it this morning, when we come to the Father, he will pray on our behalf. He intercedes for us. So I hope that you have a few more things in your mind of things that you can pray for if you're not already. You can pray about anything. The Father is interested in what's on our minds. Yes, he knows our thoughts. But, you know, you might know that a family member loves you. Well, I know that. But doesn't it mean a lot more when they say, I love you? It changes the dynamic a little bit, because now you've heard it. You know it. Of course you know it. But when they tell you that, it makes a difference. The Father wants us to talk to him. And it's my prayer that you will begin to do this if you haven't already. Our closing, let's read our closing text. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Think about this text through the week. Think about people that you can pray for. Think about people that need prayer. Think about the world condition and where we are headed as people in this world. And pray for those that they will open their minds and hearts that Jesus is coming soon. And we need to be ready for that. So what are we saying? Pray without ceasing.
Friends, that's all the time we have for this evening. So it's time to close with a word of prayer. So let's have a word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this avenue of prayer. What a marvelous thing it is that we can talk to the Most High God in the universe. Father, we ask that you will be with us, that you will help us to rely more upon you and your Son. We thank you for every gift you give us, Father, the gift of life and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please be with us through this week until we come together again, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I hope to see you again here next Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. We meet here every week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.